Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk. This is the podcast devoted to the CBS superhero show Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is my very pale friend Tim.
Look, I know it's the middle of winter. Yeah. But that's no reason for calling out how pale my skin is. I'll have you know that my skin is a darker tone than yours, sir.
Maybe. I don't know.
We've never done this comparison.
No.
You're too far away from me.
Yeah.
Stretch out your index finger. We shall compare the index fingers.
It's pretty close call
right
now.
Pretty close, actually. Yeah. That was a nice little Sistine Chapel moment we just had.
It was a little, yeah. A little bit like, oh. Yeah. Great radio. Anyway, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You good?
I have a cold, so if I sniffle or blow my nose or I sound like I want to talk like this, that's because of the coldness that I have inside my nose.
I'm sorry for the nose coldness, but you know what? You're a trooper for coming all the way out here to your own
house
and recording this with me, so thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I was able to go from one room to another room.
It was quite a struggle for you, but you made it. So
I did.
That's fine. So listen, since you're here, anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk some follow up from last week's podcast?
And since I came all the way out.
Yeah,
here,
I figure since you made the commute,
I came all the way from Mars, so
might
as well. Yeah.
So some reactions to childish things from last week, and these people
childish things we said or the episode.
Both. Supergirl TV Talk at gmail.com. Scott writes a few things here. First, the show was really a title fight of character moments for Wynn and Jean. Wynn finally got an episode he deserved. I would agree with that.
Yep.
A lot of emotion and pathos.
Oh, they'd be smacked out of him.
Literally. Time and space. Just like nothing. You know, like, it wasn't like he likes that they brought this up in the first season. They didn't kind of keep it going, and then like years and years of Wynn pining for Kara and, you know, like Clark and Lana type of thing. Also, Jean, you know, just looked great. That first flying scene with him and Kara flying at the very beginning, amazing visual effects, phase through the wall. You know, we were wondering if they were going to ever do that, and they did. So really, really great stuff. And finding out that he's been around for 50 years, and of course this week we found out exactly how long he's been around. As Scott puts it, this show is not letting off the gas anytime soon.
No, it is not.
So totally agree with all of that. We have another very passionate email from Jacob. Jacob goes, OMG, what the bleep just happened? Wynn's dad, what? Wynn and Kara? Max bugged Alex? That's pretty much the tone of the email. But very, 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 very passionate stuff here from from Jacob. It is a lot to process. I really like what he says here. The character development in the episode was crazy. From John to Wynn and even Lucy Lane, we don't know what Lord is up to, and that really worries me for Kara's sake and Alex's. Can't believe he actually bugged her purse. He's an evil, evil little man, but an incredible actor nonetheless. Some great thoughts from all of our listeners, really. Great, great stuff here. I want to just read one more here. And this one comes from Tyler. Tyler says, great podcast. Thanks very much. So he got things he was fond of and things he was not so fond of.
Okay.
So things he was not so fond of. He's starting there. More of the sort of politics, right? So Lucy Lane talking about, kind of breaking down barriers, when it comes to, like, you know, angry old white men and stuff like
right.
that. Supergirl needs to use her X-ray vision more.
She kind of forgets that she has it,
doesn't
she? Yeah,
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Like, she could have just X-rayed that, that one when she was in the quicksand and there was the one toy up above that was sounding like a person.
Maybe it was made of lead.
That was my thought, too.
Yeah.
That was my thought. In fact, someone tweeted that at us and said, why didn't she use her X-ray vision? I said, maybe it's made of lead. I had the same thought. And also, super hearing could have been used more. You know, tell the difference between a live voice and a recording. That's something that even lead can't. You know, doesn't stop.
Toys are just that good.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. This one was interesting. Like the countdown clock of Toy Man's like tablet device. When the bombs were going off or going to go off in the convention center there, was a little bit like it went, you know, from 15 seconds to 4 seconds. Like it went really fast, and the last 4 seconds were like really long. It's a little, you know, a little particular, Hollywood. But yeah. That's Hollywood, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some things like that are you know, things that are less fond of, but things he liked: progress of her powers, the way that she saved people with the sucking in with the vacuum breath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff. The toys looked good. Some cool stuff. The effects were great. So yeah, and her Kat's reference to the interview involving Diane Sawyer. Fun stuff. So. Good stuff from Tyler. Thank you to all of you guys. We had a lot of great emails this week and so much you know, it's hard to read them all. Roland, Dave, we got a bunch of emails that were just like I said, hard to read them all on the podcast, but we do read them all and we really appreciate them and try to write back as much as we can. So thank you guys very much. If you have thoughts on Supergirl and you'd like to email us and hear them read on the show, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com is the way. Also at TV Supergirl on Twitter, great place to leave us some feedback as well, and we will read your follow-up on the show. So before we crack open your little red notebook of super observations,
but it's already open.
Oh no! Well, close real quick. Okay. All right. Yeah. So before we open your little red notebook of observations, I want to talk about Supergirl.tv. There are friends over there who help make this show possible, sponsoring us this week and almost every week, pretty much every week throughout this whole first season of Supergirl. They are great. They are a go-to source for Supergirl news, Supergirl spoilers, videos, cast images, all of that stuff. I really, in particular, think that the spoilers page has been on fire lately, and they've been getting a lot of good stuff and getting up there really quick. You know, it's instead of crawling the whole internet looking for every piece of Supergirl news you can find, let them do the legwork for you. Enjoy reading their site or following their Twitter and getting the updates, knowing every time the site's been updated at Supergirl TV site. Great way to stay up to date. It's by fans, it's for fans, it's a labor of love. They love to do it, and that's why they do it every day tirelessly, and they do a great job of it. So thank you to Supergirl.tv. Follow them on Twitter at Supergirl TV site, like I said, and get all the up-to-the-minute updates all the time. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show. We love you guys. Thanks so much.
Cool.
So now you can crack open.
You can crack open
the book.
All right, hold on.
Oh.
One, two.
Oh, he's gonna take a while, folks.
Three.
He's getting there.
4, 7, 40.
Mm.
Oh, I marked the page. Great.
Oh, okay.
That was unnecessary.
Great. Yeah.
Great. Okay. I flipped pages like Toy Man's clock counts down.
Ah, yeah. Hey. There you go.
All right, Supergirl, episode 11. Strange yes. Visitor from Another Planet. I liked this episode.
Yeah. I liked it too.
Yeah, that's all, right, all I cool. have to say.
So
I,
you can find us on the yeah. internet. okay, so where should we start?
We could start at the beginning.
Good, very, a very good place to start.
Great. Yes.
High five.
Yeah. Can't reach cross table. Also, I'm that's sick. Fine. I don't want to get you sick.
That's fair.
All right, so we get a. I thought this opening scene was actually going to play into the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm, more, yeah.
So you have Supergirl saving a family in the middle of a forest fire.
Yes.
I thought it was cool to see her saving people outside of National City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in the woods, which is, you know, it's a nice new environment. That's not the desert that we, you know, I haven't seen her in before. And she's, you know, all that's well and fine. It's very good. I like all that. It's very odd that the DEO is saving people from forest fires.
That is true. That is a little odd. It seems like maybe the kind of thing Supergirl's like, no, I'm doing this. And they were like, ugh, fine.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, maybe that's it. But either way, we'll talk about this as the episode goes on. But a Martian, green Martian and white Martian weakness,
yeah.
they're made, like their version of kryptonite is fire.
Yes.
And so... sort of, not maybe in this universe, so we'll talk about that, but I really thought that was going to play into the rest of the episode. I was like, oh, they're starting with fire.
Okay.
That's going to be a thing, and then it's just never a thing ever again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was strange.
I agree. That was a little, they kind of dropped the ball there a little bit, just kind of left it hanging.
But the idea of fire is different than how it plays out in the comics.
That's true.
Either way, so... We get time and space, but not metaphysical time and space.
Yes.
We get we get just Kara giving Wynn time and space.
Yes.
Which she hates.
She hates time and space.
I hate time and space.
Yeah. I felt like that was like that might come back to us someday, like if she like I don't know, like flies so fast that she travels through time and space or something.
She ends up with the Legion in space and forward in time.
I hate time and space. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was a little ambiguous line. I don't think it's going to pay off for us that way.
I don't think so either.
But
I'd like it to.
But Supergirl, CBS writers, if you would like to reach us for story ideas for cute things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here for you.
Let us know.
But we said the thing. So last week's episode was all about the wind.
Yep.
And this week he has 4 lines of dialogue.
I know. Like,
maybe Jeremy Jordan is sick. Maybe he was sick because this was filmed months ago.
I feel like this was just like
you had your moment in the sun. We have other stories to tell.
Yeah, we had a really big wind episode, and now it was time to you know take some time off, give him a break, go back to a very Kara-centric. And a Jean-centric story this week. It was his turn to play.
I was thinking about this because we talked about how the original intent was for Hank Henshaw to be that Hank Henshaw.
Yes.
And when they decided to make him Jean Jones instead, they were like, okay, this is great. But all of a sudden they're like, oh, there's a lot of rich backstory here.
Yeah.
As we saw in this episode. But it's like, oh, we've added another character with a lot of backstory. And so now they want to play to that.
Yep.
But they're so other characters maybe that wouldn't have gotten the shaft now are. Which,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. It is interesting. That's a very interesting point. Because I do think I would like to see more of an even evenly spaced, evenly distributed attention to characters, but it's hard to do that and make it work and not make it feel overcrowded. So it was a little conspicuous that Wynn was so big last week and now he's in the background. But think about it: if you have an awkward moment like that if it's ever happened to you, like especially with a friend, you do probably see them less after, you know, you've rejected them or they've rejected you or whatever. The two of you probably are just like, yeah. Or even just like an ex, like, yeah, you probably don't want to like go out for dinner the next week, you know, you just sort of like, all right, I'm going to see a little bit less of you now. Like, especially if you're in a situation where you have to see each other, you probably just like ease off. So
yeah,
it makes sense, but it was a little, we wanted that payoff, right?
Yeah.
We wanted the next conversation, but they're making us wait for it. So,
yeah, that's fine. It's fine. And all the things that you said, I completely lost my train of thought. So I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Fair.
Catco's main office got redesigned. Did you notice this?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. Yes. I have a note in here that says pink dinosaur on loan from Batcave.
Yes.
Because it is, in fact, a giant cat. It is not a Tyrannosaurus. Correct. As I thought it was in one of the opening scenes over the shoulder. I was like, is that a Tyrannosaurus Rex behind her? It seems to be a giant jaguar or panther or something like that. It's a little unclear because it's a giant pink statue of a cat.
That's okay.
It's a whole redesign.
Yeah.
The whole floor model is different.
Yeah.
When did that happen? Was that last week? Did I miss that? Is that this week?
Don't know when that happened. But, I think it was new.
Yeah.
I think it was a new thing.
All of a sudden, I'm like, Wynn's desk isn't here anymore.
Yeah, it was a totally
different
thing.
Neither are all the other desks anymore.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the impetus was behind that.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
I maybe to make it feel more like a big conglomerate, you know, because... Maybe,
but like, you know, I work for a big company. I mean, we don't just, like, randomly reassign people's desks and move around.
No, that's not what I mean. Like, you work for a big company. Does every single person work on one floor?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
But it does make... Okay, yes. Yeah, so like, it makes sense that Wynn wouldn't sit right outside the CEO's office. Like, why would the IT guy sit right there?
Why
right?
does the IT guy sit outside next to the personal assistant?
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
It's also, we're up to episode 11 now. I'm also thinking just on a practical level, like, maybe they decided to redesign the set whenever they realized they were getting picked up for beyond 13 episodes. Maybe they decided to do some set redressing.
If you notice the way that they redress the set, you don't need as many extras.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although, now I think about it, they were shooting episode 11 a while back, like when we talked to David Harewood, and that was before we found out the pickup. So, but yeah, maybe it was just an effort to reduce the number.
Reduce some, like, because that's people you don't have to pay.
Right. Yeah. Who
you
knows?
Don't see them. Right.
We gotta devote the budget to the White Martian, not to these extras on the.
Right. Yeah. We gotta make him look good.
Right.
Her look good.
Look good. Yes.
Yeah. Her. So I also wrote. I wrote here by the end of the day with a quote. Oh, I remember now. Okay. I couldn't remember why I wrote it. I had no context for it.
By the end of the day.
And Lucy's gonna issue them some Cat wanted Lucy to do something. They were in a meeting.
Yes. And she said do by the end of the day.
And Lucy is gonna issue them like a cease and desist or something like that.
Yes.
And Lucy's like, that's not how it works.
Yes.
It's just by the end of the day.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I did enjoy that.
Yes.
I couldn't remember why I wrote that, though. Okay, now I get it. So.
It was probably, you were probably like, oh, it's just the quote of the week?
Yeah,
like,
Yeah, but it wasn't. Maybe it was, but it wasn't.
We'll see.
So, we're introduced to Adam.
Yes.
Kat's estranged first son.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Blake Jenner, who is Melissa Benoit's real-life husband.
That's right.
In the real life.
And former co-star on Glee.
And former co-star on the Glee. Right. I don't really like him.
Yeah, he,
I don't really, I mean.
His character.
He's hurt. Just... Yeah, he's hurt. No, him. Like, just get out of here.
He's a bad person. Yeah, I don't like him.
She deserves better than you. Go away.
Jim's a little jealous.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jim's a little jealous.
Just playing Blake Jenner. You're very handsome and stuff. Yes. Whatever.
And that's why we hate him.
So he's very hurt and stuff.
Yes.
But he's got a real big chip on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and I have no tolerance for people like that, TV or not. Unless you're funny and have a big chip on your shoulder, get out of my way.
Then it's permissible.
That is permissible. You know, Tony Stark has a big chip on his shoulder,
sure.
but he's funny.
Right.
So I'm over it. It's fine. Adam's just kind of a jerk.
He does have a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
And he's definitely mad at his mom.
He's got a lot of baggage, but he has also done well for himself.
Yes, he has.
So there's that, you know. So it's that, you know, despite my upbringing, I have overcome. And instead of being a humble person, you're like, I'm the greatest person in the room. And that's how I read it. But by the end of the episode, I was like, he's very much her son.
Yeah.
I just, even the way, like, despite my inconvenience, mm-hmm. you know, his being not being raised by his mother, hers being a woman in the business world.
Yes.
Despite that, I have overcome and have done well for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that same chip. He's got that same sass, and he owns it and struts it. But for whatever reason, it doesn't work the same way as it works with Kat. She has wisdom.
Yes.
She doesn't.
It's almost like she's earned the sass a little bit because she's a very successful, you know, multimillionaire, if not billionaire, CEO of her own media company, conglomerate, owns all these, you know, TV stations and newspapers and everything. So she is a very confident woman for very good reason because she's accomplished so much. Whereas he is very confident and a little cocky maybe, and he's maybe hasn't accomplished as much. So doesn't feel as earned. Is that what you're basically saying?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. I would counter with that, playing devil's advocate. I would counter to say that, you know, he is his mother's son. Maybe that confidence is just something that, you know, that is a Grant's family trait, regardless of whether it's earned or not. Like, maybe she was already cocky before she.
I'm sure she was.
I would think she was, and maybe that's part of the reason why she became so successful. Because
I'm also sure that's true.
Because having that can do attitude is part of what gets you there.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that Melissa and Blake have good on screen chemistry?
I wasn't thinking so for much of the episode until close to the end when he asked her out.
Yeah.
Then I started to see a little bit more, but they didn't get a chance to, you know, if they were flirting back and forth, I feel like I would have felt it more.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
But she's so oblivious.
And she was talking to him about his mom and everything. So, like, we didn't really get to see them play off each other in that way.
That's
in a romantic
true.
Way.
I'm sure we'll see that.
I think we will. Yeah, I think we will soon. But yeah, no, I think there is good, great potential there. I mean, how can they not have some chemistry, right? Like, if they're married.
Right, you're married. You have to have some kind of chemistry. Right. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Otherwise, I'm looking at a train wreck ready to happen.
And I did not watch Glee, so I don't know what their...
I watched... I stopped watching before they were
yeah.
both on.
Yeah.
So, he is there not to be a returning cast member. He's there for a very particular purpose.
Yeah.
And that purpose... might be to drive Wynn further away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could very well. Yeah. I mean, especially if they do start, was it, I mean, it seems like he's going to be back. If they do get together or at least, you know, date for a little while or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be something to push him away. Maybe that makes him evil. Maybe he turns into Toy Man.
Yeah.
You rejected me.
Here's my other reason. In the comics, Toy Man is responsible for the death of Cat's son.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be a kick if Wynn is responsible for the death of Adam, Cat's son, after she reconnects with him and Kara dates him, and then Wynn comes along and kills him?
That would be very interesting, but that would take a big turn in a very short period of time.
I didn't say it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah,
now.
I wouldn't say it happens like this season, but that would be a really good twist, and that would be really good forethought and planning to do it now, or plan it now, plant the seeds now, I guess.
And if it wasn't, CBS Supergirl writers, you could reach me at Supergirl.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. SupergirlDBDog@gmail.com. Yeah.
Ted Sullivan, give us a call.
Yeah, by the way, I'm a very creative person.
Yeah.
Just FYI, it's what I do for a living, by all means.
I feel like you do this last week too, where you had like a brilliant idea and you were like, yeah, writers, get in touch. So
I had a brilliant idea since the pilot. Hey, guess what? Hey, get y'all is John Jones.
Well,
I've been doing this since the beginning.
This is true. Yeah. Hashtag Tim was right. Yeah. So what we need to do is set up like a separate email address where the writers can just send you, like, just you, send you know, them. Just like get in touch
They're
with
like,
you.
Like, hey, we're stuck on this. If I just, you know.
Tim, can you workshop this with us?
Yeah.
Can we just get, I just need no some eyes on this.
Yeah, I was just saying to somebody at work today, actually, I've said this before, so I'll say I'm a teacher, and we were sitting proctoring a study, and he was teaching the Odyssey, and he said, like, I need something, like, I need a build activity to go into this thing. I need a pre-activity. And I said, so I'm thinking, okay, the Odyssey. And he's like, we've covered this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this in the class. And I was like, you just wiped out every idea that I had. I said, oh, but you should do this, and you could do this, and this, and this. And he said, great, a great idea. And I said, this is the best job. This is the job I want, where I sit in the cafeteria drinking a coffee, and people just come to me going, I'm really stuck on this. Like, I need, like, a cool lesson that I could do. And I'd be like, do this lesson. Good job, me.
It's like office hours for other teachers.
Yeah, right. And I get just paid to sit there and be like, I have a good idea for you. And then they leave and they do it and they get all the praise, but I don't care because all I have to do is sit in the cafeteria and drink coffee. That's my dream
job.
Deal. Isn't it a good deal?
I like it. All right.
Yeah. All right. Unnecessary tangent. Here we go.
I like it. Hashtag Tim was right.
Yep. Hashtag Tim was right. Do you think that Kara crossed the line sending that letter to Adam?
I wouldn't have done it. So yeah, I think there is a line there.
I don't think many people would have done that. Yeah,
I would not have done it.
Many people would.
Oh,
yeah.
Not many. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was bold, especially considering who Kat is. Like, it's your boss.
Mm-hmm.
She's not your friend.
Right.
You know, she's not related to you. She's not family, nothing like that. She's your boss.
Right.
And you went right around all that. And she's fired you like 6 times already.
I know. And not to mention, like I think the worst part was not just sending it, but that she finished it.
Yeah, she didn't even write the whole. Yeah, she
like,
wrote
it wasn't like
the rest
she found a completed letter and was like, you know what, I'm going to send this. It's like, no, she finished it.
Yeah.
And like presumably forged her like signature, you know, name, whatever, and then sent it. Like that takes.
That's guts.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
That takes
that's
big
a
old pair of guts.
Yeah, I could really not get over that. But what was in the letter also saved her job.
Yes, that is true.
So,
that is true.
And her reasons were very noble. It wasn't even just,
oh, yeah.
you know, like, oh, she should really get together with such. She's like, I, as an orphan, do yes. not feel comfortable yes. with the way this is has happened. I did like that. It also reinforced her fake backstory. My parents died in a fire.
That's right.
More
it?
Fire.
Yeah. More yeah. fire.
She didn't say that in the episode, but that is the reason, right? I didn't make that up in my brain yesterday.
No, I think
yeah, they died in a fire, quote unquote, which they did because the planet exploded.
That is true. Yeah.
Then it exploded.
yeah. Wait. Oh, help me out. And then exploded.
Da da. No, I was gonna do the theme song, but it might not be enough.
Just tell me.
It's Galaxy Quest.
Oh,
when the pig monster is attacking Tim Allen.
Oh yes, and then they
send it up and it turns inside out and like it's inside out and then it exploded. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was gonna kill me.
You're welcome.
It was gonna kill me. Yeah. I was gonna explode.
Yeah. From the inside out. Mm-hmm. On fire. So then there's this rally with. Yep. There's a rally with the senator, and aliens are bad, blah, 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 the usual nonsense. And then we have the White Martian attack.
Yes.
Before we knew names or anything like that, I called him Whitey Bulger in my thing. I was like, Whitey Bulger.
Oh, my God,
looks,
that's so good.
Whitey Bulger looks
Whitey
great.
Bulger. Whitey Bulger does look great.
Whitey Bulger looks great.
I geeked out so hard when they showed us. That White Martian.
Yeah.
I was losing it. I was completely losing it. Like, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing.
Did you freak out the way that the John Jones reveal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very,
even
very
you
much
knew
like
the White Martians
even
were
though
coming.
It was coming this time. Yeah. I mean, maybe not as much. Like, I wasn't as happy about it, but like, I was seriously like, I was like, I can't believe that we are seeing a White Martian fighting a green Martian on a weekly TV show.
Yeah.
Like, and they're doing it like full on,
earnestly.
Whole hog. Like,
yeah.
Earnestly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're committing to it. And it's not hokey. It's not cheesy. It's like the stakes are real. It feels real. It feels scary.
Yep.
It's just, I am in such disbelief and so happy that we live in a time where this is happening on our television.
Yeah,
every week.
I know. I really loved Jean's PTSD at that scene.
Yeah, the flashbacks.
The way that he reacted, you know, because this is a man who has been sure about everything, you know, basically, you know, even in his conviction, like not to act, not do anything. He has been like, I'm doing it this way. So, you know, and you can't really tell me otherwise or sway me, but then like this attack, he does feel a little guilty about it from his own. We'll go back to that. But Whitey Bulger looks, it was a spectacularly done CG effect.
Better than I could have imagined, like better than I could have hoped for.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it'd be good. I didn't think it'd be that good.
I thought this was maybe, in the grand scheme of the whole episode, I think this episode had some of maybe the best fight. I think this episode had the best fight that we've ever seen on screen so far. In 11 episodes, this has been the one that, you know, include all the Kryptonians, Reactron, Livewire, all that stuff. This has been the one that are like, yeah, this was a really well done fight.
Yeah. No, it was a really good fight.
So the whole thing is that, you know, the senator gets stolen and there's an attack and it goes away and attacks and blah, 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 blah. And Alex gives the senator a sedative. You're welcome. Because they're freaking out, or she's freaking out. What's her name? I didn't write it down.
I'm blanking on it. It'll keep going. I'll think of it.
Okay. So we get Jean's backstory at this time. You know, Alex is like in the middle of the DEO. Hey, Jean. I mean, Hank.
I mean, oops.
Did that Martian upset you, another Martian? No, she wasn't like that at all. But
pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. They were in a side corridor.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But he shares his life with her at that moment.
Right.
And it's a little different than his comic book counterpart
and
all that stuff, and some holes are there. I liked it better. I will say there's an easy there's an easy parallel to make to a lot of different things that have happened through Earth's history, that you look at this and you kind of almost say these are universal qualities yes. now. You yes. know, this is just how the universe yes. works, which is very sad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah. it's not just sad for Jean. Mm-hmm. It's a sad reality. It's a yeah. sad truth. That's yeah. a good way of putting it. And so basically the Green Martians are living on Mars and they're very excited about being there, you know, on their dusty planet filled with nothingness.
Yeah.
And up from the planet core comes fire. And with that fire comes the White Martians,
yes.
which have been building, according to Jean, instruments of death.
Right.
You know, fire pits and fire machines and all this different stuff. So the fire is the weakness,
mm-hmm.
but it is for a particular reason. It's not like, oh, no, it makes me feel weak. It's more like, oh, no, it makes me feel weak. And now I have PTSD on top of
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
There's a double meaning to all of it, and so the White Martians are basically the Morlocks from the Time Machine. Mm-hmm. You know, they live in the planet core and they come up to wreak havoc right. on the nice, peaceful things that are living above. There are a couple scenes in between all this, but I want to talk about this flashback.
I want to talk about the flashbacks. Yeah.
Very,
they did a really good job of making me like empathize for Jean. I it was a really good flashback. It was very, felt very real, very visceral, very, like, it didn't matter that these were little green children and little green creatures. Like,
they all looked cute enough and, like, real enough kids yeah. that you felt for them.
Yeah. They were, like, you know, human looking enough that you felt like they were children. And what really mattered was, like, this is his family. Like, right. I was feeling that, like, you know, the horror of, like, oh my God, this guy.
This is a father who watched yeah. his children being ripped out of his arms.
Right.
It is the Holocaust. I mean, we could say it.
I mean, yeah, they were pretty.
It's very clearly. It's,
yeah.
They didn't hide it.
They didn't at all. They were pretty explicit about it, actually.
But I don't think that was, the point was not to hide it. I think the point was to hit you over the head with, like, this, you know how terrible that was.
Yeah.
This is how terrible this was, except that it was the whole planet.
Right.
It wasn't a couple of countries.
Right.
This was the whole planet.
And
he is the last one.
The last one, and it drives home, like, how horrible and how scared you should be
yes.
of that White Martian, of Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
Like, you should be horrified, you should detest and be just terrified
right.
of this. Like, if they did that to their own people, what would they do to you?
Right. Well, there's that line before, you know, the Green Martians are like an ant, and you're not even an ant.
That's right, yes.
You know, that's it. Obviously we saw at the rally, they don't even take the time
yeah.
to put you in camps for
right.
whatever reason. Like, you're worthless to them.
Mm-hmm.
At least the Green Martians had something going for them to be put into a camp.
Right.
I had a hard time. The whole thing was CG, right? It was a CG rendered scene.
Yes.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell if he was real in that scene.
No,
or
I don't
not.
Think so.
You don't think
no,
so?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's good that I had a hard time telling.
It is. It's, yeah, that is good.
That it flashed was very, it was quick enough that, I mean, if you stopped and looked at it, I'm certainly, but it was fast enough that
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it was nice to just kind of roll with the scene and be
yeah.
intimately involved in it.
That's right. Yeah. You were very much drawn into it and just sort of like, you were along with it. You were following very closely, at least
yeah.
I was, and then it was over. Like, it happened so quickly that you had to just absorb everything that was happening, and it looked so good. Like, it was so good looking that it was kind of hard to process what you were seeing and
right.
what you were feeling and what you were, you know, what the story was all at once. But it was amazing.
Yeah. It's very interesting that there was no Martian architecture.
Yeah. It was just like the Martian, you know, rock landscape. It was funny. I actually, saw The Martian, the movie The Martian, for the second time.
The
day before
the
episode aired. So I was like, huh, yeah, it's just really just, we're like almost could, like, I wonder if Mark Watney's back there somewhere. Like,
no, well, obviously he's not because
it's in
we
the past,
do.
I know. Yeah.
It's in the past.
It's in the past.
Darling. It's in the past.
Yeah.
It's really. Now, I know this. You and I know the story of Jean Jones.
Yes.
So you're on the Twitter more than I am. How did people react to this?
I think it was a lot of people who didn't weren't familiar, but were really enjoying it. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. A lot of that kind of reaction.
Yeah, oh my God. That's good. That's the reaction they were going for. Like, how terrible for this person.
Oh my God. Like, there's another kind of Martian, and it's bigger, and it's scarier, and it's, you know, like, oh, there's good Martians and bad Martians, something like that kind of thing. So, like, realizing, but there was a fair, you know, a fair amount of chatter from the, like, comic book community that knew and was like I was, like, I can't believe I'm seeing this actually happening on my TV right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, I would say it was like 80% new to the story and 20% that were familiar with it.
Well, that's what because... I mean, I watch it and take it seriously to begin with. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I wanted to know what it would be like for somebody who doesn't watch it to take it, you know, seriously the way that I do.
I think people bought it. I really think people bought it. My fiance didn't know the Martian Manhunter, you know, origin at all. And I was having this conversation with her too. And I was like, you know, it's amazing to me that this is happening and like I'm getting to see this. And she was like, yeah. And it's not like. It was her that said, like, it's not cheesy, it's not hokey, it's not, like, it's real. It's just, it just is. Like, it's just a powerful story about a guy who lost his whole race, his family and his whole race.
But it crafts it in the way that he doesn't talk necessarily about losing his whole race. Yeah. He shrinks it to, I lost my family.
Yeah.
And in turn, I lost everything else.
Yeah.
But I mean, sorry, I can't speak for what it's like to be a green Martian because I am not one, despite the rumors that are going on around me.
I know. Listen, I always look up for you.
I know, just rumors.
I know, rumors.
Obviously, I'm from Saturn. God,
clearly.
I'm Jem from Saturn.
You're Jem, son of Saturn.
Yeah, son of Saturn. He was scary, too. He was scary like the white Martian. Anyway, it's very difficult. You can sympathize with people you don't know.
Yes.
Oh, that's very sad for the starving children in Holland, but it doesn't but if you don't know them, if you don't see them, if you don't interact with them, it's very difficult to care as if you find out that your brother has been living on the street for 3 years and that's why you haven't talked to him.
It hits a lot closer to home.
People that you care about versus people that are in your life versus people that are not.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just a different kind of sympathy, empathy. So it was smart for him to craft the story around, I've lost my family, because people can empathize with losing family.
Yes, that's right.
Especially somebody like Alex and Kara.
Yes.
Kara also is one of the last survivors of her own race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she lost two dads, technically.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
She lost, that's true.
Yeah. She's got two behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving
a trail of dads everywhere.
Yeah. Jeez, care so inconsiderate. Pick up after yourself. Pick up those dads. Yeah.
Pick up those dads.
They're just everywhere. Littering the floor. Yeah. Just so weird.
The trail of dads.
Where do you think Jean's suit comes from? Because they were kind of just wearing burlap on Mars.
I think
Mars.
It's the starving children in Holland made it for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The nimble fingers.
Yeah.
I don't know where that
came like
from.
A little Dutch boy who put his finger in the dike. It's just like that. He used those nimble fingers to make a Martian suit.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure that's it. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
You're the one who said it.
I know. Doesn't matter. Okay. So we get... We move on to, there are a couple of interplays between Kat and Adam, and he's like, I don't really like you and stuff. And she's like, well, I love you, but not really, but I do.
But I do, but.
Whatever the dialogue is, blah, blah, blah. And, Adam basically confronts Kara, like, you wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Like, did you write the letter? And she's like, that would be super illegal, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that line.
Yeah.
She, like, doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, that's who she is. She doesn't think about her actions so
that's
as much.
Right,
she kind of just barges in and worries
about
she's
still kind of going, like, flying by the seat of her pants a little bit. And
But
she always does it for, like, the right reasons. She does it because she thinks it's the right thing to do, because she thinks it'll help somebody or, you know, whatever the right reason is, she always does it for the right reasons. So.
Yeah. It's real. Yeah.
It's
she
noble.
Was just for the right reasons. I thought in that scene her hair looked super brunette. Did you notice that?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm like, are you going away from the blonde? Like, will she just not be blonde one day?
Yeah,
like
I don't
know. Are you slowly letting it fade away?
They keep making cheerleader jokes. I mean, not that there aren't brunette cheerleaders, but you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They keep making those jokes too. Like, they said it again this week and you said it last week.
Right. Well, I think they even make a mention that her hair is... Do they make a mention that her hair is dyed?
They
in
do
one
say
episode?
Blonde. Yeah. Oh, dyed? I don't know, but they say blonde.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because it does... I mean, it does. She has brown roots.
Yes.
Like, since the first episode. Right. They're not trying necessarily to hide it.
Sure.
This is just Kara being like, I want to be blonde.
Right.
Yeah. Because her younger child self, the child...
Has darker hair.
Is a brunette. Yeah. Which I thought was smart, too. Nothing says she's got to be a natural blonde.
That's right, yeah.
Nobody cares.
That was never part of the... Never one of the rules.
That was never a condition of our agreement. Yeah.
Perhaps you think you're being treated unfairly?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
Good. I would have to come back. Yeah. And say more things. Yeah. So, Kat has this really sad speech with Adam.
Yeah.
This, I never got to this. I never got to that.
Yeah, I never got to grow up. I never got to put a drawing of yours on the fridge, all that stuff. Yeah.
Kat is an excellent speech writer. There's a lot of good repetition in there. I never got to this. I never got to that. I never got to this. I'm like, yeah, you hammer home what you never got to do.
That's right.
You do that. That's how you get people to remember.
She's very eloquent. And she's done it a few times now where she's like made these sweeping speeches. Off the cuff, and she's very eloquent.
Yeah,
very good at it.
She is very eloquent. She's very good. So, and then Adam kind of hints. Does he hint to Kara about like, hey, is you know, or does he hit to Kaz like, hey, is Kara like you know,
yeah,
available because she's actually my wife. So yeah. I was just you know just curious. My wife is right there. You know,
yeah. He says something like that, and Kat's like, okay, I see what's happening here. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go shrink and pet my giant pink cat statue.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Dino Cat.
Yeah, Dino Cat.
Oh, yeah.
So all this time, it has been revealed that the senator is actually the White Martian in disguise and attacked the DEO. And
Senator Crane.
Senator Crane, thank you. And all this lovely stuff, and kind of goes on a killing spree of sorts, but gets a finger cut off and leaves it behind.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank and Alex are analyzing it, right?
Yes.
And again, I think, why is the director of the DEO...
like, yeah.
Everyone knows there was a giant alien there. They all saw it. That's what they do for a living.
Right.
Why is director of the DEO and Alex, why are they the only two people in this whole government... in this whole government agency that do this?
Because of the reasons, Tim. Because of the reasons.
In this
instance, I will defend Hank being that involved.
Because it's a White Martian.
Because it's a White Martian, and it hits so incredibly close to home for him that he wants to personally supervise. But you're right. In every other instance, like, it didn't need to be him doing all the legwork every time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Although someone said to me, I was talking to this about somebody, and they said, they said, that's because it's a government agency, so you're lucky there are at least two competent people there. And he said, basically, all the other people are red shirts. Like, you know that. They're all just there as fodder.
Yeah.
You know, not, you know, as from a writing standpoint, they're all fodder.
Right, right, right.
So these are the people that you need to know that they can do everything.
Right.
I said, yes.
All right, fair, I guess.
Yeah, but it's Hank. But does Hank, like, every time be like, oh, sir, do you want me to go to the lab and analyze things? He's like, no, I'll do it myself.
Right, no.
Like,
it just happens.
Sir, this is my job. I literally get paid to analyze things.
Yeah.
I will bring it back.
I
promise.
Promise.
Yeah. You can have your dirty cut off White Martian finger when I'm done with it. Give me the finger.
Oh, man. Give
not
me
that
the
finger,
finger,
sir. Not that
no,
finger.
No, put that finger away,
put
sir.
Put that finger away, sir. That's not appropriate. I would report you to HR. So we learn that Jean is 317 years old.
That's right.
And he has been on Earth for 50 of those years.
Yes.
So he was already in his 200s when
he came to Earth.
When he came to Earth. How old do you think Martians live for? Like, is Jean middle-aged? Is he, like, just 30 years old? Because he looks like Hank Henshaw, but he's not Hank's age.
Right, right. And so, and he's not even, it's not even necessarily correct to assume that whatever age he looks as Hank is, like, relative to what his Martian age should be, right?
Right.
So if Hank looks like he's 40, that doesn't mean that he's the equivalent of a 40-year-old, you know, like...
Or a 40-year-old Martian.
Yeah, middle-aged Martian. It doesn't necessarily mean that. I would guess, though, that he is like, middle-aged.
Yeah. I'd say he's on the middle of his... If he's 317, I'm going to guess that Martians are roughly live to be about 600.
Right.
That's going to be my... That's going to be my guess.
That is pretty much my guess, too.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's not necessarily because Hank looks like he's middle-aged. I just
right,
think
right, right, right. It's just the way he presents
yeah.
himself,
yeah.
his real self, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex tries to implore him a little bit, you know, like, this is my, you know, it's my fault, you know, blah, blah, blah. Maybe if you use your powers, you know, and he's like, oh, they, Martians hunt me with my powers. And she's right. like, you know, I understand this. And he said, you know, you don't know anything about me. And my first thought was, what you know about me? What you know about me? And I really just wanted David Harewood to just break into a song at that moment. You know, just break the whole tension of the whole show. And it's almost in its third act of the show. Just like, what you know about me? What you know about me? I'm a green Martian. I'm afraid of fire. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Yeah. I lost my family. My kids' names are Earth names for some reason. We'll get there. Yeah. But I can't rap.
No, that was pretty clear right yeah, there. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never ever, ever said in my life that I'm good at rap.
No,
it's not,
you shouldn't
it's
either.
Just not, it's just not in me. So we get some Martian manpower, right?
Yep.
We get some. We
do. Yeah. And in fact, yeah, quite the opposite of breaking the tension with a spirited rap.
Yeah.
He instead it got pretty tense.
Yeah, it said he goes on like a vengeful mission on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and he uses his Martian manpower.
Yes.
Radar.
Which is apparently a thing he can do.
Apparently a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spider sense.
Now, it's the mental. I got it that it's the telepathy.
He can yes, the telepathy he can
but
sense.
But it looked like the way that the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie did his radar.
Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah, it's yes. almost like it's Martian manpower, Martian man radar. That's
Martian man
radar. Yeah, that's why he's a man hunter, because he's got man
he
radar.
Hunts men with his man radar.
With his man radar. Yeah.
Mandar.
Yeah, and so it's actually telepathy. But yes. This is the first time actually on the show and in a live action John Jones that we've seen him communicate telepathically. He's used telepathy before for different things. He's read people's minds. He's wiped people's minds, but he's never communicated that way before.
That is a very good point. Yes, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I liked their little back and forth. David Harewood really brought it this episode. He had a really big range, and I appreciated it.
Like when he got so angry and passionate with Alex, just like you don't know anything about me. I'm going to do this. I have to do this. I have to avenge my family. Like all that stuff.
Right.
That was a lot. Like that was intense.
He said one line of dialogue that I didn't write it down, but he said it all in one breath. You know, it might have been the "what you know about me" part, but you know, there was a whole segment in there that he just like, and like the last word he barely got out because it was all in one breath, and I really appreciated that. I appreciated that direction, whether he brought that himself or someone
director,
told him,
yeah.
It was like he had to get it out. I don't have time for you. I don't even have time to breathe. I have to go and do this.
That's a
screw
really good
screw you, yeah.
I like that, yeah. That's
well,
really
and I'm an observant fellow because I also have Martian man radar.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. I don't even have regular radar.
Oh.
Oh. So the senators are, you know, like, one senator's real and one of them's not. You know, all that fun stuff. You know, Director Danvers, how you doing? I'm in a sewer, Alex. Like, even in this tense moment, he's still a little sassy.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a sewer, Alex.
Yep.
Actually, it was really funny. I wish they had established that Jean loves Oreos because that's a thing with Jean in the comics, that he loves cookies.
Specifically Oreos.
Yeah, I mean, in the comics, part of Mr. Biscuit. I don't know if you're reading Martian, Mr. Biscuits and all that nonsense. But I realized that it had been established before. So Alex, like when he was really upset, she could have been like,
oh, want a cookie?
Do you want a cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want some Oreos? I'll bring you some Oreos.
Yeah.
Like, but it's okay. It would have broken the tension.
It would have, yeah.
But it would have been nice, like, at the end for her to, like, give him some cookies at the end or something like that.
It would be a nice thing, a nice character
thing. It would have been a nice character thing.
I would still like to see that happen at some point. Did they, this is a little sidebar, did they ever bring that up in Justice League Unlimited, Justice League or Unlimited?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
All right, I couldn't quite remember.
Yeah,
I know Smallville they did.
Yeah, that was the first instance of him is he has like a trail of cookies that Clark follows.
Yeah.
You're like, this is weird.
You just see like an Oreo and then like glowing red eyes and then he flies away.
It's very strange.
It is.
It's just like him like munching on an Oreo, watching Clark fight.
In the shadows.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even see his face. You just see glowing red eyes in the shadows.
And Oreos on the ground. Yes. He doesn't, like, finish the cookies. Yeah. He, like, leaves them. He's like, Clark will follow
Gotta
these.
Gotta fly away.
He's gonna be an investigative reporter. Like,
leaving a trail of Oreos.
Yeah.
Just like my trail of dads.
Oh. Like Gar's trail of dads. Yeah. One is easier to clean up than another one. It's the dads, because there's only two of them.
One is easier to clean up and the other... Because
one is incinerated.
Yes.
And so maybe the other one is too. We don't know. Senator Jones, Wendy Bulger Martian, says, you know, like, the desert reminds me of home. Meet me in the desert. And my first thought is, which desert?
Right.
There's a lot of deserts. I know you're in California.
The desert.
Right. I know you're in California. Like, I get that. Like, we've seen the license plates.
Like Death Valley.
Right.
Like,
there's
where
a lot of
going?
Deserts. All I thought of, my first thought was the, comb the desert.
Yeah. Like,
so are we taking this too literally? No, you idiot. He told us to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
Desert, yeah.
Found anything yet? You know, that's all I thought of.
Yeah.
And I was like, which desert? And then they get there. There are a bunch of trees and stuff there. And I'm like, there were no trees on Mars.
Nope.
This shouldn't remind you of home. There's too much greenery. So that was my little.
Yeah.
That was. Now, all of that was aside.
Yes.
Because we got two really cool things. One, we got a super epic fight between Whitey Bulger and Supergirl and the Martian Manhunter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was really well done. They worked in tandem with one another. There was this whole big segment and all this stuff. And I'm going to wait to tell you
why
the second part, because I think it's time to hear from our sponsor.
Whoa, cliffhanger. Did our heroes make it? Tune in a couple minutes to find out.
Yeah. so half-hearted.
Yeah. we'll be back. This is a good time to talk about that, because InStockTrades.com and DCB Service are like the best places to get a really good deal on your comic books on the interwebs. It's just a fact. It's just the way it goes. And we thank them for sponsoring us. Again, this is because we love working with them. Well, the way it works is, you know, you want to buy your trade paperbacks, your collected editions, your hardcovers, your omnibuses, your absolute editions, all that stuff. Or you want to buy your, you know, week-to-week comics. Like, if you read Action Comics every week, or you read Captain America every month.
You can read Batman Eternal every week.
You absolutely can.
Robin Eternal.
If you want to read your regularly released comics or your collected editions, these are the places to go. In-stock trades will give you 45%, sometimes even more, off your favorite collected editions. DCB Service, also a easy way to get your comics shipped straight to your home. Subscribe and get them sent to your home every month, every week. This week on In-Stock Trades, we're looking at the first trade of JLA, of Grant Morrison's JLA. It's actually just called JLA Volume 1.
It is, in fact, called JLA Volume 1.
And you actually mentioned this last week, Tim.
Yes, I did.
Because this is the first arc of Grant Morrison's JLA run.
Yes, it is.
And it concerns white Martians.
Yes, it does. He invented the white Martians.
He did.
As a matter of fact. It's not much of a spoiler, because I think it's even in the synopsis of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But basically this team of... It's the classic line of Justice League. Before this run of Justice League starting in 1996 by Morrison, Justice League was all over the place with a lot of... It was basically like watching Legends of Tomorrow on CW, but it was your Justice League book. It had a lot of the side B characters, and it wasn't selling very well. And so they decided... So Grant Morrison came back, and he's like, Justice League only really... Like, Justice League is a... It matters... When, like, there's nothing wrong with all these other characters, but Justice League matters when it's the big heroes. Mm-hmm. It's the Justice League. So it's Superman and Batman and Aquaman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and Flash and Green Lantern. And then more heroes come in and out as they go. There's a couple of other heroes in there, that is not worth mentioning right now, but, basically, a new super team comes and starts fixing the world. And everyone's like, this is great. They've, like, fixed famine and, like, all this different stuff. And it's actually revealed that they're white Martians.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of really good character moments for a lot of different characters there. It's actually got, if you go to, like, a countdown site, like a BuzzFeed or something like that, and they do a, like, the best Batman comic moments of all time, one of those moments is in this book consistently. It's fantastic, and I will not ruin it for you. Those who have read it know what I'm talking about, and those who haven't, you will have to go and buy it. I won't spoil it for you. This book is the start of modern Batman, like the Bat God, the guy, he can do anything. He has figured out 10 ways to beat you before you've even walked in the room because he knows your name. That's this Batman, which is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it realistic? Absolutely not. But you know what?
It's fun to read.
It's fun. This book, people, like, on a team of Justice League where you've got Martian Manhunter and Green Lantern and Flash and Superman and Wonder Woman and all these other characters, why does Batman have to be there? Grant Morrison tells you in this book, this is why Batman is on this team.
And that's what he's so good at.
Yeah.
He's so good at that.
Yeah, this is like the ultimate deluxe thing. So there's stuff beyond just this regular issue in there, which is written by Mark Millar, which is really good.
Yeah.
Mark Millar of Marvel Civil War and Kick-Ass and Superman Red Sun and all these different great stories. It's really worth checking out.
So would you say that, like, $19.99 is a fair price?
Oh, yeah. For all those stories, 256 pages, yeah. That's a lot of pages for $20.
What if
I
told you that it on in-stock trades, it's only $10.99?
Are you serious? That's only $10.99? I was ready to sell it at $19.99.
I know.
That was actually a good price.
$10.99
is even better
book.
Price.
It's like a telephone-sized book.
Oh, and it's, my goodness. Yeah.
It's a good price. So
maybe I'll read that tonight. I'm actually looking at it on my shelf.
Go
right
for
now.
It. Go for it, man.
I'm wearing headphones.
But yeah, $10.99, 45% off at in-stock trades. I cannot recommend these guys highly enough. And also over at DCB Service, if you like your digital comics, that's a good place to be buying from, because every time you go through their portal and buy something on Comixology or My Digital Comics, you earn 5% back to spend on DCB Service. So instockdrays.com, dcbservice.com, that's as in discountcomicbookservice.com. Thank you so much to those guys for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk this week.
Indeed. And our heroes are back. And so second thing that this was really good, we get Martian language.
Yes, that's right.
We got a Martian. Right. We got a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a thought about this.
Okay. Go ahead.
So
it was weird. The thought is that it's weird that we haven't gotten a Kryptonese or
right.
a Kryptonian
we
language.
We talked about this last week. Yeah. We had an email last week.
Yep.
Where someone pointed out it's weird we haven't had Kryptonese, and like you'd think they would do subtitles or they would, you know, say the first line in Kryptonese and then transition yep. to English with the understanding that this whole conversation is Kryptonese.
Yeah.
They showed us how they would do it if they were going to do it. So that to me says that.
It's coming.
It's no. I think, well, maybe. I'm not saying yes or no on that, but it says to me that every conversation we've heard so far, like between Astra and Non, for example, have been in English.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have looked like that. It would have had subtitles.
Oh,
you know,
so it has been in English.
It has been in English this whole time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they have translators or something like that.
Sure.
You know, well, one would argue that they've had to survive on Earth for 13 years, right? Like,
yeah, so they have to blend in.
Like, Vartox was driving a truck, and he was in a diner. Yeah. He had to English.
I'm just saying, I think that otherwise we'd see it with subtitles, but I really loved the way this was done.
That's a good thought. Yeah, very guttural language. It was like, it was almost unpleasant to listen to.
Yeah, which I think was part of the reasoning.
I liked that very much, that, like, it's not like, it doesn't sound like Elvish or, you know, like, or
yes.
even Dothraki or something like that. It was like, you know what, know what it sounded like? It was almost like Klingon or something like
of
that style. It's like, it almost hurts to speak it with human vocal cords or something
yes.
like that.
And you know what they say about Klingon?
No.
Well, you've never truly read Hamlet unless you've read it in the original Klingon.
Is that a real thing?
It's a Star Trek joke.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay. I was like, just there's something foul. I didn't know how to react to that.
It's in the original Klingon. Yes, it's from the Undiscovered Country. Anyway,
thanks. So we get this magical fight sequence, and the White Martian ends up, it doesn't die. Jean does the right thing.
Yep,
he does it, you know.
With Kara, like,
please
coaching him, like,
don't do this.
Don't go down to that level.
Yeah. It was real good. And there's something telling me that he's going to be like, she's going to be at that brink at some point. He's going to be like, hey, remember that time that I didn't do it? It's a double standard.
Yeah. Remember that time the person that like was in, responsible for genocide and of my planet and my family, and you told me not to do it? Yeah, you can't do it now.
Yeah,
sorry.
Double standard. Yeah, it's not the same. It's literally the same. It's like, it is.
Mine was worse, in fact.
Mine was worse because I was in a camp.
Yeah.
You weren't. Yeah. Yeah, and not the fun Leonardo DiCaprio bear kind. Yeah.
What's fun about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Was fun to watch? No.
Hashtag Revenant. Yeah. Tim was not right.
No.
Hashtag Tim was not right.
Revenant was not a funny movie. I was wrong. Yeah. It was. Yeah, anyway. So we have Whitey Bulger says to Supergirl, Whitey says, there are thousands of white Martians.
Yes.
My thought, season two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Thousands of white Martians. Uh-huh. Oh, you best be setting up a Martian invasion.
Oh, man.
A season of an invasion.
Woo.
Because this is the, we're looking at this season of, they're already here and they're infested, but, or, I said a lot of ors. Like, we're looking at this one, there's like a quiet, season one's like a quiet sneak attack of Kryptonians. Mm. We don't really know what they're doing. White Martians can do and be anybody. Like, maybe you're looking at like a secret invasion kind of, you know, like we've taken over
Skrulls.
The most important. Right, yeah, we've taken over your most important people. Like, what a great season that would be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Wynn feels better, also. We get Wynn's other two lines of dialogue.
Yes.
And so that's all good. Time and space, all such good things.
Time and space for healing all wounds right there.
That's right. We find out Jean's name, the names of his children, which are Kim and Tanya.
Yeah, you know, no, maybe he wanted to name them after Earth names.
No, because... No, that's dumb.
I'm kidding.
No, I had two thoughts on this.
Okay.
One is that his name is Jean, which
that's
is
right.
John.
Which sounds like,
yeah, which is John. So maybe it's more like Kim and Tanya.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And he just didn't say them like
Yeah.
He called, you know, it's just to make it easier for them to to pronounce or maybe those are like that's what it basically translates to those were my two thoughts, but it was weird that he was like, I have two daughters, names were Kim and Tanya, and
Kim
like,
Jones and Tanya
Jones. Yeah, it's a nice name. Yeah,
like Kim and Tanya or
Tanya da da. Yeah. So anyway, that was my thought. Not all visitors to our world are the enemy, is what Kat says.
Yes.
Which I thought was very poignant, because she is speaking of Adam.
Yes.
Or the White Martians. Mm-hmm. Or what?
Or Cora, or Jean.
It's a very poignant line for what is happening to her. It's what's happening across in the whole show.
Right.
It's really, that I think was really well done. That's all I have for the episode, except for my favorite segment of the week, the Cat Grant Code of the Week.
What was your pick?
My pick is she's probably in the bathroom picking Muffin out of her hair.
Yes.
That was my
Muffin out of her hair.
Well, it was breakfast.
It was.
So maybe
and she's clumsy.
That's probably happened before.
Probably.
Just saying. That was my favorite. I mean, there were a lot of great, like, more, like, you know, I never did that. I know.
Yeah,
like,
the heartfelt stuff.
But my Cat Grant quote of the weeks are always about the, you know,
the funny,
the ridiculousness of Cat Grant.
Yeah,
she's probably picking Muffin out of her hair. That's mine.
Yep.
Is that yours?
Yeah. There was one other that I can't remember right now that was also ridiculous. It's one of those things where, like, as the episode goes along, I think, like, is that going to be it? And then
right.
I heard that one. I was like, oh, that's it.
That's it.
That's the winner.
The Muffin.
Muffin in the hair.
There's
always, she's just full of gems. Always.
She is full of gems.
She's been on fire lately too. She's had like a bunch every episode for
but
the last
not Martian
two or three.
Fire.
Not yeah. Well.
No. Oh. So that's the end of our talk before our trailer talk. So if you don't want to know anything about that, we can leave you here. You can rate and review us on iTunes.
That's right.
Yeah,
you can find us on
TV.
Yep.
You can find us on all the things Frank's going to say.
Well, you can find us on Twitter at TV Supergirl. You can find us. You can email us, send us feedback at supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. Like Tim said, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, The Overcast app for iOS, the Satchel Media Player for Android and iOS. You can review us in any of those places and let people know what you think. Just tell a friend about us, too. That also helps. But all those things are great. Visit our site, SupergirlTVTalk at SupergirlTVTalk.com, that is. But aside from, you know, finding the podcast there, every week Corinne also writes awesome reviews for us of every episode, and we look forward to reading those every single week. I look forward to those just as much as you guys do. So check those out as well. And yeah, that pretty much does it until we'll talk about trailer talk in a minute here. But cool. If you're not joining us for that, we'll see you guys next week.
But for the rest of you.
Yeah. Trailer.
This trailer was a little bizarre.
You're an idiot.
Thanks.
I love it.
Thanks.
That was good. Yeah. So we get Bizarro Girl next week,
yes,
which we all kind of knew was coming.
Yes.
Because that was the direction that we were going.
Right.
It looks pretty classic Bizarro, you know, mad scientist creates Bizarro, looks like her, slowly starts to not look like her. That's Bizarro. That's Bizarro. We got cracked skin. We get white, like her. We get the classic Victor Frankenstein. It's alive.
Yes.
And we also get the, yes, my lord.
Yes.
Which was, can't tell if it's a pun or not.
I know.
Pretty sure it is.
I mean, yeah.
It's a secret writing pun is what it is.
Yes,
it's a
basically.
Secret writing pun. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It has the potential to come off very cheesy, depending how they do it.
Trailers usually do.
Yeah.
It never really is indicative of the tone
of
the show.
You're very right. It's not always, not necessarily how it's going to look. You're right. I think it's interesting. We're going to see Benoist on Benoist.
Yes. Right? Because the face of the girl in the bed.
Yes.
Clearly is getting molded to then look more like her.
Yes, she looks vaguely like her, and she's obviously going to look exactly like her at a certain point.
And then maybe the cracked Bizarro will look like that girl. You know, like maybe it'll go back, and so that actress has something to do. Who knows? Maybe. But I'm looking forward. To some Bizarro Girl.
Me too. I hope they don't go back to using the mannequin they were using last week.
Did you go back and look at that?
I actually didn't have a chance. I forgot to do that.
Stupid. There was nothing like that in this episode.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, clearly the budget was saved for this episode.
White Martian,
so you can't have it for episode 10.
Exactly.
Dumb.
But anyway, yeah. It looks like we're gonna have some legit Bizarro Girl here.
Yeah,
so.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Before we go, this week it's worth mentioning that this week the first issue of the Adventures of Supergirl companion comic.
Yes, it did by our good old friend of the show, Sterling Gates.
Yeah. We talked to back in, I think it was March. It's on Comixology. It's a digital exclusive, and it's a companion to the show. So even if you're not typically a comics reader, this starts at issue number one. It's it's not related to what's happening.
Comes out every week.
On Mondays. It's not related to what's happening in the rest of comics. So you can read, if you're watching the show, you can easily read this. It is literally made to be a read-along thing for the show. It kind of fills in stuff that happens between episodes and that kind of thing. And this first issue started with going back to the beginning of the series and showing you when Kara was starting and how she started. It read like deleted scenes from the first couple episodes. Would you agree with that? That it was sort of like...
Yes. That's usually... Arrow and Flash also have companion comics as well. And I find that during the first season of those shows, they do a little like, here's this in-between adventure. But then once the second season rolls, it generally both switch into a, this is what happened in between the seasons.
Right.
Which is generally very interesting because you see like, because, you know, it takes place, you know, 5-6 months later. So you're like, oh, how did this happen? This person's wearing this costume or like this is different. And the comic fills in all those gaps maybe not necessary completely to the show, but it does add to that overall enjoyment experience.
It colors in the blanks, fills in the blanks.
Plus, this comic was written by Sterling, who is Sterling.
Yes. Punny but true.
Punny but true. And he we've sung his praises many times on this show before.
Yes.
I don't think we need to do it much again. But he fell right back into that character.
Totally.
all over again. And he's working with the Melissa Benoist style of Supergirl, so she's a little bit more of the, like, okay,
yeah,
it's working real well. Art's by Ben Gull, who's done a bunch of stuff in Marvel and DC before. He was on Teen Titans for a while, All New Wolverine, Avengers, Avengers World, some Batgirl, Lobo, Marvel team up. It's Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. There's some good work from him before in a couple of different areas. So, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm looking forward to more of it. Yeah. So every week, every Monday, not too late to jump
99
on.
99 cents.
99 cents a hit.
It's
like,
super. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't get your comics digitally, they are going to release it all completely
eventually,
a graphic novel. They're not going to do single issues. They're just going to go straight to the graphic novel once they all collect.
Which has been consistent with what they've done with their other digital only stuff. Digital first, I guess.
Yeah, pretty recently. Normally they do like all the issues that would come out in 1 month, the following month get released as a
that's
as
true
a
that's
paper.
True you're right, they have done that.
Yeah,
that's
for
right.
$2.99 usually,
but now they're doing it as trades.
Supergirl's the first that it's just going to end trades. Up as a trade, yeah,
right, which is great, which is a great way to read
it's a great way to read it. Yeah,
so yeah, we both recommend it. It gets the Frank and Tim seal of approval.
Yeah,
so,
it does, absolutely. Yeah, cool. Looking forward. So yeah, until next time,
up and away.